Trying to influence people in power is constitutionally protected in the United States.
The First Amendment to our Constitution protects a right against government, and the right is the right to petition government for redress of grievances. And that's where lobbying and interest groups and organizations come in.
John Samples, director of the Cato Institute Center for Representative Government, says lobbying has much to do with the nation's tradition of grassroots democracy.
If you go back a couple of centuries, people who visited America often remarked on how Americans seem to have a tendency to join groups, to get organized, to do things through voluntary associations. And that's continued down to this day.
Legend has it that the term lobbyist was coined in 1869 by President Ulysses S. Grant to describe the dozens of people who approached him seeking political patronage or legislative favors. While living at the White House, Grant used to walk to the nearby Willard Hotel to relax, have a brandy, and enjoy a cigar. Barbara Bani David is Director of Public Relations at what is now the Willard Intercontinental Washington.
Apparently his wife did not want him smoking cigars in the White House, so he used to come to the lobby of the Willard Hotel. And when the president's fondness for the lobby became noted, some of the power brokers of the day found out and would come to the lobby of the Willard Hotel to petition the president on their individual causes. He called those people lobbyists because they used to hang out in the lobby of the Willard Hotel.
Now, decades later, K Street has become Washington's Lobby Avenue. K Street is only 11 blocks long, but it is home to many of the estimated 14,000 lobbyists who work in the nation's capital. According to Massey Rich of the Center for Responsive Politics, a nonprofit organization which tracks money in politics, almost everyone in America is connected to a lobbyist.
Certainly the big interests have plenty of lobbyists. The oil industry, defense industry, drug industry, they have a lot of lobbyists. But a lot of people don't realize that you're also represented by a lobbyist if you're a student at a public university, if you're a taxpayer, if you're a member of a labor union. The difference is, how loud can that lobbyist speak? How many of them are there, and what sort of access do they have to politicians?
Rich says that the boom in the number of Washington lobbyists since the mid-1990s is largely a result of the expanding U.S. budget, which during last fiscal year was about $2.8 trillion.
One big reason that lobbying has grown so much is because the government has so much money that it hands out through government contracts, through earmarks for projects around the country. And so there are a lot of different interests competing for that money, and the lobbyists help them compete.
Another reason for the rise of what many analysts call the influence industry is increased government regulation, especially of American corporations, says the Cato Institute's John Samples.
Many of these businesses are regulated by government in one way or the other. So it's almost a continual set of political conflicts that can affect their business profoundly. Government can keep them from entering markets, from exiting, taxes can go up. So when government does more, there's more things, more decisions to be influenced. So you would expect when government's growing that the number of lobbyists would also grow.
In addition to lobbying Congress, interest groups try to influence the executive branch of government because how the laws are interpreted and carried out often is critical to their clients. American University political historian Alan Lichtman points to two major bills recently pushed for by several powerful business interests.
We recently had an energy bill passed, which had subsidies and tax breaks worth many billions of dollars to the big oil companies who were very heavily lobbying for those very provisions. We recently had a prescription drug benefit bill pass, which is worth perhaps hundreds of billions of dollars to the big pharmaceutical or drug companies. And of course, they lobbied very heavily for that.
Lichtman says another prominent group, AARP, which represents the interests of people 50 years of age and older, also lobbied for prescription drug benefits. It's not rare, he adds, for organizations representing divergent interests to work together on legislation. Many analysts, including Professor Lichtman, contend that former lawmakers and government officials are among the most influential lobbyists in Washington.
For example, John Ashcroft, who was the Attorney General during the first Bush term, is now a lobbyist. He's a very important Republican lobbyist. On the other side, for example, John Breaux, who is a Democratic senator from Louisiana, is now a lobbyist. Studies have shown that when you look at the United States House of Representatives, About 40% of former representatives go on to become lobbyists when they quit the Congress.
Although public pressure on government through lobbies is a part of the democratic process, some analysts caution that recent lobbying scandals involving members of Congress have tainted the profession. We'll focus on that next time. I'm Yela De Franceschi.
The First Amendment to our Constitution protects a right against government, and the right is the right to petition government for redress of grievances. And that's where lobbying and interest groups and organizations come in. If you go back a couple of centuries, people who visited America often remarked on how Americans seem to have a tendency to join groups, to get organized, to do things through voluntary associations. And that's continued down to this day.
Apparently his wife did not want him smoking cigars in the White House, so he used to come to the lobby of the Willard Hotel. And when the president's fondness for the lobby became noted, some of the power brokers of the day found out and would come to the lobby of the Willard Hotel to petition the president on their individual causes. He called those people lobbyists because they used to hang out in the lobby of the Willard Hotel.
Certainly the big interests have plenty of lobbyists, the oil industry, defense industry, drug industry, they have a lot of lobbyists. But a lot of people don't realize that you're also represented by a lobbyist if you're a student at a public university, if you're a taxpayer, if you're a member of a labor union. The difference is, how loud can that lobbyist speak? How many of them are there, and what sort of access do they have to politicians? One big reason that lobbying has grown so much is because the government has so much money that it hands out through government contracts, through earmarks for projects around the country. And so there are a lot of different interests competing for that money, and the lobbyists help them compete.
Many of these businesses are regulated by government in one way or the other. So it's almost a continual set of political conflicts that can affect their business profoundly. Government can keep them from entering markets, from exiting, taxes can go up. So when government does more, there's more things, more decisions to be influenced. So you would expect when government's growing that the number of lobbyists would also grow.
We recently had an energy bill passed, which had subsidies and tax breaks worth many billions of dollars to the big oil companies who are very heavily lobbying for those very provisions. We recently had a prescription drug benefit bill pass, which is worth perhaps hundreds of billions of dollars to the big pharmaceutical or drug companies. And of course, they lobbied very heavily for that. For example, John Ashcroft, who was the Attorney General during the first Bush term, is now a lobbyist. He's a very important Republican lobbyist. On the other side, for example, John Breaux, who is a Democratic senator from Louisiana, is now a lobbyist. Studies have shown that when you look at the United States House of Representatives, about 40% of former representatives go on to become lobbyists when they